Mr. and Mrs. Brown first met Paddington on a railway platform. In fact, that was how he came to have such an unusual name for a bear, for Paddington was the name of the station. The Browns were there to meet their daughter Judy, who was coming home from school for the holidays. It was a warm summer day, and the station was crowded with people on their way to the seaside.
Look, dear, there's a bear.
Harden?
A bear!
A bear? On Paddington Station? Oh, don't be silly, Henry, there can't be.
But there is, I distinctly saw it, over there, behind those mail bags.
Why should a bear...
It was wearing a funny kind of hat.
Without waiting for a reply, Mr. Brown caught hold of his wife's arm and pushed her through the crowd, round a trolley laden with chocolate and cups of tea, past a bookstall, and through a gap in a pile of suitcases towards the lost property office.
There you are. I told you so.
Mrs. Brown dimly made out a small, furry object in the shadows. It seemed to be sitting on some kind of suitcase, and around its neck there was a label with some writing on it. The suitcase was old and battered, and on the side in large letters were the words, Wanted on Voyage.
Why, Henry, I believe you were right after all. It is a bear.
She peered at it more closely. It was brown in colour, a rather dirty brown, and it was wearing a most odd-looking hat with a wide brim. From beneath the brim, two large round eyes stared back at her. Seeing that something was expected of it, the bear stood up and politely raised its hat, revealing two black ears.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can I help you?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, we were wondering if we could help you.
You're a very small bear.
I'm a very rare sort of bear. There aren't many of us left where I come from.
And where is that?
Darkest Peru. I'm not really supposed to be here at all. I'm a stowaway.
A stowaway?
Yes. I emigrated, you know. I used to live with my Aunt Lucy in Peru, but she had to go into a home for retired bears.
You don't mean to say you've come all the way from South America by yourself?
Yes. Aunt Lucy always said she wanted me to emigrate when I was old enough. That's why she taught me to speak English.
But whatever did you do for food? You must be starving.
Ah.
Bending down, the bear unlocked the suitcase with a small key, which it also had round its neck, and brought out an almost empty glass jar.
I ate marmalade.
Oh.
Bears like marmalade. And I lived in a lifeboat.
Lifeboat?
But what are you going to do now? You can't just sit on Paddington Station waiting for something to happen.
Oh, I shall be all right. I expect.
The bear bent down to do up its case again. As he did so, Mrs. Brown caught a glimpse of the writing on the label. It said, Please look after this bear. Thank you.
Oh, Henry, what shall we do? We can't just leave him here. There's no knowing what might happen to him. London's such a big place when you've nowhere to go. Can't he just come and stay with us for a few days?
Oh, but Mary, dear, we can't take him. Not just like that. After all,
what? He is rather sweet. And he'd be such company for Jonathan and Judy, even if it's only for a little while. They'd never forgive you if they knew you'd left him here.
It all seems highly irregular. I'm sure there's a law about it. Would you like to come and stay with us? That is, if you've nothing else planned, of course.
Oh, yes, please. I should like that very much. I've nowhere else to go, and everyone seems in such a hurry.
Well, that's settled, then.
But...
And you can have marmalade for breakfast every morning.
Every morning? I only had it on special occasions at home. Marmalade's very expensive in Darkest Peru.
Then you shall have it every morning starting tomorrow. And honey on Sunday.
Will it cost very much? You see, I haven't very much money.
Oh, of course not. We wouldn't dream of charging you for anything. We shall expect you to be one of the family, shan't we, Henry?
Of course. By the way, if you are coming home with us, you'd better know our names. This is Mrs. Brown, and I'm Mr. Brown.
How do you do? I haven't really got a name, but only a Peruvian one which no one can understand.
Then we'd better give you an English one. It'll make things easier. It ought to be something special. I know what. We found you on Paddington Station, so we'll call you Paddington.
Paddington. Paddington. It seems a very long name.
Quite distinguished. Yes, I quite like Paddington as a name. Paddington it shall be.
Good. Now, Paddington, I have to meet our little daughter Judy off the train. She's coming home from school. I'm sure you must be thirsty after your long journey, so you go along to the buffet with Mr. Brown and he'll buy you a nice cup of tea.
I'm very thirsty. Now, where's my suitcase? After you, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paddington.
Now, Henry, look after him. And for goodness sake, when you get a moment, take that label off his neck. It makes him look like a parcel.
The buffet was crowded, but Mr. Brown managed to find a table for two in a corner. By standing on a chair, Paddington could just rest his paws comfortably on the glass top. He looked around with interest while Mr. Brown went to fetch the tea. The sight of everyone eating reminded him of how hungry he felt. There was a half-eaten bun on the table, but just as he reached out his paw, a waitress came along and swept it up.
You don't want that, dearie. Hmm? You don't know where it's been.
Oh.
Paddington felt so empty he didn't really mind where it had been, but he was much too polite to say anything.
Tea and cakes, Paddington. How's that to be going on with?
Oh, it's very nice, thank you. But it's rather hard drinking out of a cup. I usually get my head stuck. Or else my hat falls in and makes it taste nasty.
I see. Then you'd better give your hat to me. I'll pour the tea into a saucer for you. I'm sure no one will mind just this once.
Paddington looked hungrily at the cakes. In particular, at a large cream and jam one, which Mr. Brown placed on a plate in front of him.
There.
I'm glad I emigrated. Do you think anyone would mind if I stood on the table to eat?
Before Mr. Brown could answer, he had climbed up and placed his right paw firmly on the bun. It was a very large bun, the biggest and stickiest, and in a matter of moments, most of the inside found its way onto Paddington's whiskers.
Look at that there.
Fancy that.
Mr. Brown stirred his tea and looked out of the window, pretending he had tea with a bear on Paddington Station every day of his life.
Henry! Henry, whatever are you doing to that poor bear? Look at him. He's covered all over with cream and jam.
He seemed rather hungry.
There. You see, Judy? This is what happens when I leave your father alone for 5 minutes.
Daddy, is he really going to stay with us?
If he does, I can see that someone other than your father will have to look after him. Just look at the mess he's in.
Paddington suddenly became aware that people were talking about him. He looked up to see that Mrs. Brown had been joined by a little girl with laughing blue eyes and long fair hair. He jumped up, meaning to raise his hat, and in his haste slipped on a patch of strawberry jam, which somehow or other had found its way onto the tabletop. For a brief moment, he had a dizzy impression of everything and everyone being upside down. He waved his paws wildly in the air, and then, before anyone could catch him, he somersaulted backwards and landed with a splash in his saucer of tea. He jumped up even quicker than he had sat down, because the tea was still very hot, and promptly stepped into Mr. Brown's cup.
Oop! Oh, dear.
For a moment, Paddington stood with one foot on the table and the other in Mr. Brown's tea. There were large patches of cream all over his face, and on his left ear there was a lump of strawberry jam.
Oh, Mummy, isn't he funny?
You wouldn't think that anyone could get in such a state with just one bun.
Yes, well, perhaps we'd better go. I'll see if I can find a taxi.
Come along, Paddington. We'll take you home and you can have a nice hot bath. Then you can tell me all about South America. I'm sure you must have had lots of wonderful adventures.
Oh, I have, lots. Things are always happening to me. I'm that sort of bear.
When they came out to the buffet, Mr. Brown had already found a taxi, and he waved them across. The driver looked hard at Paddington, and then at the inside of his nice, clean taxi.
Bears is sixpence extra. Sticky Bears is ninepence.
He can't help being sticky, driver. He's just had a nasty accident.
Hmm. All right, hop in. But mind none of it comes off on me interior.
Oh,
I only cleaned it out this morning.
The Browns trooped obediently into the back of the taxi. Mr. and Mrs. Brown and Judy sat on the back seat, while Paddington stood on a tip-up seat behind the driver, so that he could see out of the window. The sun was shining as they drove out of the station. They swept past a group of people at the bus stop, and Paddington waved. Several people stared, and one man raised his hat in return. It was all very friendly, and there was so much to see. There were people and cars and big red buses everywhere. It wasn't a bit like Darkest Peru.
Oh, dear. We really shall have to give Paddington a bath as soon as we get indoors.
Yes, we shall.
That mess is getting everywhere.
Paddington looked thoughtful. It wasn't so much that he didn't like baths. He really didn't mind being covered with cream and jam. It seemed a pity to wash it all off quite so soon. But soon the taxi stopped and the Browns began to climb out. Paddington picked up his suitcase and followed Judy up a flight of white steps to a big green door with a brightly polished letterbox.
Now you're going to meet Mrs. Bird. She looks after us. She's a bit fierce sometimes and she grumbles a lot, but she really doesn't mean it. I'm sure you like her.
Paddington felt his knees begin to tremble. He looked round for Mr. and Mrs. Brown, but they seemed to be having some sort of argument with the taxi driver.
I'm sure I shall like her, if you say so. But will she like me? ¶¶